this Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program on this Sunday. Of course, 9/11, as we remember our history. But a few days ago, Queen Elizabeth passed away, and there's someone who has always been on duty.
Steve, you're exactly right, and I know all of us are giving out our condolences to the British people for the loss of a great leader. Queen Elizabeth led by example. As a public official, I look for leadership examples, this model of servant leadership, and I can think of no other leader that exemplified this dedication to duty and service to the British people. It's amazing. I've always embraced the idea of always being on duty as the mayor. And what was amazing to me that Queen Elizabeth never failed to execute her duty, when you think that 2 days before her death, she knew it was her duty to meet with the new British Prime Minister and executed that duty. I heard that people were telling her, well, then Prince Charles can be in your stead, but she insisted on going through with that ceremony. So I know she'll be missed, but she was a great world leader that we can all learn from her example of commitment and duty to her country and to her family.
Yeah, the people that were asked around the area there, they said the same thing. And also the pictures of her spanning all of the years of the presidents that she stood with. The work session. How'd it go? Facebook chatter before that on Wednesday, the Thursday work session.
That's right.
We hammered out some changes on the UDO possibly, and onward we go.
Steve, let me address the Facebook chatter first. I'm not on Facebook. I was just learning this week there's a writer, Mr. Fisher, who's come out with a new book called The Chaos Machine, and he's addressing some of the dysfunctional communication issues that we have with social media and things like Facebook and so forth. I'm not on Facebook. I at one time was, but as the mayor, I'm not on Facebook. But people give me feedback about what's being said on Facebook. And on Wednesday night, there was a lot of chatter about the draft document that had been just sent out. People were saying who developed this and why wasn't it sent to the public and so forth. So let me address that. First of all, on our August 30th workshop meeting, we had a straw poll trying to ascertain what the board members felt about the key issues in the short-term rental ordinance. We asked our attorney, Chad Isick, to take that information and draft an ordinance that we could review. Chad started on September 1st, and he put it at the top of the ordinance. You know, we had the Labor Day holiday, but he continued. It took some time, and on Wednesday afternoon, Josh Ward, our town manager, received Chad's completed work. Upon receiving that work, Josh sent it to the town board members. Our town clerk sent it to the Sunshine List and posted it on our website. So when I start seeing email chatter on Wednesday about how this was done and why wasn't it sent to the public and so forth, I will take issue with that. It was. And I will just say one other thing. I have some of my friends who will come up to me in person, tell me what a great job I'm doing. And then on Facebook, I see that they're lambasting the mayor and the board for mismanaging short-term rentals and how incompetent in things we are. I understand that. That's part of the democratic process. Criticize your public officials. But let's have some consistency. Not any of this two-faced stuff. If you don't like what I'm doing, tell it to my face, and I will accept your criticism. I just want people to know, while I don't monitor Facebook, I get feedback about it. We did have a good work session on Thursday night.
Yeah, you don't live in a vacuum. Anticipating those short-term rentals, okay, at end of 3 years, no registration, R1, R2, what have you come up with?
Let me just go over the draft, an overview, and I hope I don't miss anything. There's still questions being asked. But basically, the draft says that anyone who has been doing short-term rentals in R1 and 2 can continue for the next 3 years. In fact, there are very few prohibitions about the operation. There's no registration or permitting. There are certain things that you will have to abide by, such as providing parking. The garbage will be required, posting contact numbers in the short-term rentals in case of emergency. Things like that will be a part of the operational requirements for short-term rentals. But again, the old ideas we had about intensification, registrations, they're not a part of this ordinance. The other part is that if you have not been doing short-term rentals in R1 and R2, you cannot do them at the point of approval of this ordinance. In other words, we're going to stop the spread of short-term rentals in R1 and R2. So let me just repeat that. If you've been doing them prior to the ordinance, you'll be able to continue for 3 years. You have not been, you cannot start doing short-term rentals in these residential zones. What we are probably going to do, but I can't speak for the board, there is an amortization provision in this ordinance, which says after 3 years, all short-term rental operations will cease in R1 and R2. Board and our attorneys feel like that gives people time to make plans to stop using their property as a short-term rental operation. It can continue to be a residential operation. Families, long-term rentals can be done. You can live in your property, and you can even rent your property out as long as it's more than 30 days. So that's going to be the provision. The amortization will be controversial. And some people, like on Facebook, says it's just totally illegal, and the board makes it a reckless decision. I beg to differ with that. Our attorneys, who are expert in land use, think that there is a case to be made. Amortization can be applied in zoning issues concerning short-term rentals in R1 and R2. We realize we might be in court defending that. I frankly think that that's the way this issue will be resolved. I want to emphasize, we're not just making this up. We're getting very sound legal advice. We're researching it, and we think a case can be made. Now, with that said, if and when we approve this ordinance, I know there's potential triggers for challenging this ordinance. One could be at the state legislative level, where they might look at what we're doing, or other communities like Pinehurst is considering similar types of ordinances. That could trigger a preemption from the state legislature. If that is the case, and the legislature decided to pass legislation that limited or controlled short-term rentals, so be it. We will abide by the law. We might wind up in court over this, and we will make a vigorous defense on our ordinance. If we lose, of course, we will abide by the order of the court. If the other side were to lose, they would have to abide by the order of the court. So I'm just saying that this is where I see potential resolution of this issue, which has, yes, caused a lot of controversy. Some people would say division in this town. But I'm going to say one other thing. This is not unique to Highlands. This is happening in every resort community and other communities in the United States. This is a national issue. This is a state issue. It isn't just an issue that the town of Highlands has created by some people saying us being incompetent or whatever. If that's the case, there's been a lot of incompetency throughout this country, and I'm just being straightforward here. We're addressing it as a community, and I hope after it's all said and done, we have the fairest outcome possible, and we can move forward as a community. One of the things that I think the board is looking at is not just the immediate impact, but the long-term future of this community. What is best for the community of Highlands into the future, not just what is happening now. One other thing I wanted to say about the workshop. We had a good interaction with our attorneys, and the board members were asking a lot of questions about the draft ordinance, clarifications. The attorneys are taking those questions and requests for clarification or amplification back, and hopefully at the September board meeting, which is going to be at 7 o'clock this coming Thursday at the community conference center next to the ball field. Hopefully a new draft will be there in the hands of the board members to resolve some of the questions and issues that were brought up at this work session. One of the areas which I found to be very interesting was in the area of homestays, also known as potentially bed and breakfast operations. There's been some discussion, and we've asked our attorneys to review that one more time, especially in the context of any existing state statutes, setting levels and requirements and so forth, and clarify that area for us before we make any kind of final decision. So we will be getting that feedback. And then there were several other areas where we asked for more information or clarification before making any final decision. And I think that's an important part of the process, that we do not rush, but take our time and make sure that we do the best we can to get it precise and clear as to what that ordinance will be. It might be that there's more information needed and clarification, and this process would continue. I will say one thing, though. I know a lot of people on both sides of the issue have been saying, Mayor, when is this going to be resolved? We need some direction. I understand what people are saying, and I don't want to see us drag this out forever. But when we do, as a board, make a final decision, I want it to be the best document that we can possibly create.
Very thoughtful. And this has taken all of the oxygen out of the room, and you're unable to do any other business. No, I'm just being facetious, but the town business goes on, and there are other items that were discussed.
Steve, I know you were kind of exaggerating with that oxygen out of the room, but it has taken a lot of time. And in some respects, it's taken a front seat to some of the issues that we need to address, and we're going to now be playing some catch-up. And at this board meeting, we will start addressing some of those issues that we need to move forward with.
I know Sidewalks, Highlands Food and Wine Festival want to change some event venues.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion about sidewalks on the corridors, for example, 106. I see people walking their workers on the side of the road almost daily. There's been some movement with some private funding. Just get it done. Let's do it. And I'd say not so fast. It's not that simple. First of all, we need to consult with the DOT because that's their right of way. Drainage issues, safety issues, all of this stuff has to be addressed. What I'm wanting to do, and I'm going to bring this up to the board, is to bring in a consulting engineer who would work with DOT and come up with a design and a cost estimate before we move forward. That will give us a clear and realistic estimate of what this project would cost and how it can be done. Given all that work and information and fundraising, I would think that the state would be willing to contribute funding also, and maybe the town board would be willing to contribute money from the town perspective to make this a reality. We've got to put in the preliminary work first before we can start making any hardcore commitments about this project.
We have to get ready for winter. We have to get ready for plowing the roads when we do get some snow. Of course, we're, you know, winter coming.
I believe we'll be reviewing our snow plowing policy again before we move into the winter. Last year, we had a snowfall of at least 12 inches, which created some problems about opening up road. And I want us to go back and look at that policy about what priorities we have about plowing roads and sidewalks. So we'll be discussing that. Another thing that we've been working on, Steve, making some headway, but not the headway that I'd like to see, has been a call center in case we have power outages. We'll get an update on that. I worry about that as we approach hurricane season, and we'll give the public an update on where we are with the call center.
Electric charging stations, I know that you're going to cover that. We still have to do a lot of reviewing.
Now, I've written about this. I've brought up some questions and concerns that I have. I think some people think the mayor's against electric charging stations. I'm not. I am, though, cautious that we need to make a plan and address some issues before getting on the bandwagon for electric charging stations. Yes, the town would play a role in it by supplying power, providing spaces, parking spaces. I've developed about 10 questions that I want the board to review. They're kind of overall policy issues that need to be addressed before we move forward with this idea of electric vehicle charging stations.
Now, coming up on the 15th, you've taken a little bit of extra time getting the agenda out. The agenda will be coming out soon.
We've had some folks that have had to take time off due to some illness. We'll get the agenda out on Monday, like we always do, but I just wanted to make people aware we're working on it and we'll get it out as soon as we can get it out on Monday evening. I anticipate this to being a pretty long agenda for the board to review. We've got a lot of work we need to be addressing going into the fall.